All right, let's pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds to the power of your Holy Spirit and create faith in us through your word. Amen. Well, the Gospel of Mark moves pretty fast. In a few paragraphs, Jesus returns from the wilderness, calls some disciples, starts proclaiming God's love through healings, and he's in trouble already. All right, the Sadducees have already been on him. They were offended by his healings, all right? And so in today's readings, we find out that the Pharisees have picked up the tale. Yeah. It is the Sabbath. The fourth commandment says, we are to keep the Sabbath holy by spending time with God, God's people, and God's word. But the religious leaders of Jesus' time have lost their righteousness compass someplace. Let's review. What we call the Ten Commandments are given to Moses in the book of Exodus, chapter 20. But in chapter 19, the Lord God says, I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. That is, God establishes a loving relationship with the chosen people before telling them what to do. Love comes first, then the law. Now, the Jewish law consists of not 10, but 613 commandments, or mitzvot. To the Jew, mitzvot are guides to life, not thou shalt not commands. Even so, one of the guides is, no work is to be done on the Sabbath. Work specifically includes a mitzvah on no reaping on the Sabbath. Okay, the Pharisees have caught Jesus and his entourage reaping grain on the Sabbath. It's obviously they are guilty of disobeying God's law. So Mark doesn't include three chapters on Jesus arguing all the mitzvah with the Pharisees, which is good. Anytime you want to do a rim shot, let me know. Go ahead. But King David raided the bread of the presence, okay? In the sanctuary where Yahweh, the Lord, was supposed to reside. They ate God's bread. Yeah. That was deemed okay because David and his guys were on a very important holy mission. So it was excused. So what Jesus is saying to the Pharisees is that he and his followers are also on a very important mission. Therefore, like David, their holy mission justifies reaping on the Sabbath. QED. Yeah. But there's more to keeping the Sabbath than just some guides. Story time. I grew up in a little two-bedroom home along Country Road west of Baltimore. And on weekends, all my friends were away. We never went away. Having fun someplace would have been nice. So I had no one to play with. Well, on this one particular Saturday, I looked over, and there was my neighbor Linda sitting with her mom under their beautiful maple tree. I grabbed my Phil Rizzuto glove and baseball and hustled over there. I wanted to play some catch with Linda. I sat down with them. They were shelling soybeans. Okay, I can do that. So while I was shelling, I said, hey, Linda, when we're done here, how about we play some catch? Mrs. Wagner's eyes bored into me. I squirmed. She declared, it is our Sabbath. We do not work on the Sabbath. Playing catch is work. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah. I shelled some beans for a few minutes and then I left them to their joyless Sabbath. Psalm 132 says, let your priest be clothed with righteousness and let your faithful shout for joy. Remember the Sabbath and keep it joyful, huh? Yeah, that's what it means. All right, back to the story in Jesus. Undeterred by the Pharisees' initial attack, Jesus and his disciples head for the synagogue. We know what's coming, right? Yeah. There they find a man with a withered hand. Here we go again. Why can't Jesus avoid provoking the Pharisees, huh? And just wait until sundown to heal the man with the withered hand? Compassion. I don't know about you, but when I'm sick or I'm hurt, I don't want to wait a day, a month, a minute, an hour, or whatever. I want to be whole immediately. In Jesus' mind, in my mind, waiting till the end of the Sabbath is far too long. So he turns to the Pharisees and he asks them a question. Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath? To save life or to kill? Now, if you think about the answers available, they got no response, right? They can say, oh, it's good to save life and do good. But in that case, they're blessing what Jesus is going to do. If they say, well, you can't do harm on the Sabbath or to kill, then so what, you know? Jesus restores the man's withered hand. Joy on the Sabbath. Remember, Jesus is also the teacher. And if you really think about this, you might ask, this was not a life or death emergency. He could have waited, avoided conflict, and waited till sundown and healed the man. Had he done so, though, think about what that would have told the man. It would have told the man that there was no love in God's Sabbath, no joy in God's Sabbath. But there is. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it joyful. I want to close with another story here. It's June 1988. I did the math at 36 years ago. You don't have to do that. I was in the Air Force at the time, more precisely in my squadron's room. A fellow crew dog named Dryden came up to me. Now, Dryden and I were the only two runners in the squadron. Okay, Dryden was 6'2", had legs, were about 5 foot of that, you know what I mean? And he wanted me to run with him one day, so I did. Well, okay, I'm 5'9", on my tiptoes, if I really stretch. And so we started out. It was the Energizer Bunny versus Elongated Camel. It's the only time we tried it. I just said, go ahead, you know? Anyway, on that June morning in the squadron's ready room, he said he had to repeatedly stop and catch his breath on his runs. Now, I don't know, but if you're a runner, there is one thing you do. You do not stop on your program run, all right? You keep running. It's one of those 613 mitzvot. I'm sure it's in there someplace. But I told God to go. I told Dryden to go get him checked out with a flight surgeon. That's a doctor. Well, Dryden had cancer. Yeah, a really good one. They really didn't have anything. Okay, pull out this B thing and it'll work, you know. So through that summer, he took chemo, and it failed. All through the fall, he took another different round of chemo, and it failed. Well, meanwhile, Air Force personnel noticed that one, Dryden wasn't flying, and two, he was coming up on his 20-year retirement. So they wanted to toss him out of the Air Force before he hit his 20-year retirement. Yeah. So they used their version of their 613 personnel mitzvot to try to toss him out of the Air Force. But the Air Force doctors also had their own rule book of 613 mitzvot. And they said, no, you can't do that. Well, there were mitzvot flying all over the sky, you know? But it stalled them long enough so that they could send Dryden off base to a civilian hospital where they were running a trial treatment for Dryden's cancer. Great. Meanwhile, Sue and I had been visiting this whole time. And we would sit with Dryden. We would pray. He would make jokes about everything. You know, I'm going, well, Dryden, you know, hey. Anyway, so we went to visit Dryden at the civilian hospital, and the first thing we noticed outside of his window was a cemetery. You know, wow, this is a good view, you know? What, you know, face the bed, the other way, no. Okay, so he told us then about the treatment they had come up with and that it had been successful. It was experimental, but it had been successful in 50% of the cases. Okay. But he said, let me be clear. When he says 50%, 50% of the cases, after they had the treatment, they died within 3 days. Yeah. And the other 50% started getting better. Well, we prayed with Dryden once again, and he did have his treatment eventually, because what they did was they harvested red blood cells. I'm not a doctor, so don't quote me. But anyway, they harvested some red blood cells, healthy ones, took them out, radiated all his red blood cells in his bone marrow, and then transplanted them back in, right? Yeah, that sounds rather severe. But it worked for Dryden. Yeah, he lived. And of course, he was gone before you knew what happened, because he was living in base housing and he had to leave. So he ended up going down to his mother's in Florida. So about June that year, about a year from all when all this started, June 1989, we got a letter from Dryden. You know, and he said he was doing better each week. He thanked us for our support and prayers. And then he said, we were closer than friends. But he ended his letter with this as we turned the page. I am gay. Can I still be your friend? If not, I understand. Sue and I grabbed the blank piece of paper and wrote in big letters, yes. Nailed it back to him. We put a note in there too. Well, here we are. After Jesus walked the earth and Mark's gospel was circulated, after the second temple was destroyed by the Romans, after all the Pharisees morphed into the beloved rabbis. Yeah, that's another miracle. There was a Jewish scholar named Hillel. He summarized the 613 mitzvah guides, saying, love your neighbor as yourself. That is all the Torah. The rest is commentary. To this day, the 613 Jewish guides have but one purpose: to produce people who love God and love their neighbors. Jesus would be in line with that. In fact, that was his position all along. Love comes first. Amen.